Hello, Dave.
How we doing, Daniel?
Doing great, man. Glad to have you on the show tonight.
Was looking forward to it.
All right, Dave Robertson, welcome to the Ed Sullivan Broadcast. Just a disclaimer, I took some training with you.
Yes, you did. We had a great time.
And I tell you, I learned so much in your class. I thought I knew a little bit about guns. Now I discovered that I didn't know anything. I learned so much about my Smith and Wesson 9mm, man. It was awesome in there, and I just thought, we got to have a show because Dave, gun sales are skyrocketing, setting all kinds of records. And I even spoke with you about that first time buyers are going, people who've never owned or even considered owning a gun are now snatching them up. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been pretty much 7 days a week for the past 4 months. The training has increased exponentially. And the other issue with all this is, Dan, is we have people that would never in their wildest dreams ever wanted to own a firearm, and they're coming forward, they're getting the training, and they're learning how to use the firearm.
Wow, that is offhand. Do you see of that ever toning down, or is going? What do you think is going to continue?
Well, actually, I think it's going to continue. I'm sure after the election, it'll tone down a little bit. But I also think that right now, it's a different time we've ever had. I don't think it's ever been like this in this country that in my 50 years on the earth. But the reason I'm getting at that is if you look right now, a lot of people that I'm training, they're not stopping with just a handgun for self-defense. They're moving on to shotguns. Shotguns are very hard to find right now, a combative shotgun. And then even going into the carbines, they're doing that because, to be honest, they're terrified of certain individuals trying to get in office that have already said they're going to ban them. So.
I know there was a run on guns during the Obama years, and I think people thought that tapped out, but I got a feeling that the sales currently are dwarfing. And to your point, there was a Democrat presidential candidate in the primaries, Beto O'Rourke, who nobody knows how he got the name Beto, but he flat out said, "I'm going to ban guns." And then he was ordered to shut up by the DNC, saying, "You're such a novice. You don't say that in a campaign. You say that after you get elected. You won't be elected
Yes.
like that. You got to wait." And basically saying, "You got to lie now." But then when and this guy is so anti-gun that Joe Biden's already promised that this guy, this Beto guy, who's some kind of metrosexual guy, I don't know what's going on there, but he's going to be in charge of the gun czar of some sort.
Yes, and Biden's VP already stated that she's even willing to do an executive order and do whatever she wants when it comes to firearms, including the AR-15 carbine. So we have a lot of people that, I have, to be honest, I have a lot of ladies coming forward buying firearms, even if their husband is totally against it. They're stepping up, they're buying the firearm, they're getting trained because they want to be able to protect themselves.
So yeah, there is a lot of gun sales and first-time buyers out there, and I know there's a shortage of bullets as well, isn't there?
There's a shortage of everything. The hardest thing is you can't just go into a shop right now and Dan go, you go, hey, I want this gun. Will you order it for me? Right now, that's pretty much impossible.
Well, that's
You have
almost.
to pretty much go with whatever we can get in at the time. And when we get it in, it's just what we can get a hold of. It's not like we can go, we want five of these, two of these, and seven of these. There's more AR sales right now and hand some automatic handguns than Y2K during Clinton's crime bill, during 9/11. There's more right now than any other time.
Well, Dave, I like to say this little nugget I picked up somewhere along my life travel is that when it comes to socialism, it's easy to vote your way in, but you have to shoot your way out once it's in. So it seems that before socialism does take over this country, or even as it's I'm sure we're going to be lied to in the beginning that whatever programs come down our way. Well, this is not socialism. This is just common sense. We're going to hear that word all the time. Well, this is just common sense. And then, but as soon as they pass gun bills to take guns, with buybacks or not, just randomly make them illegal, then the full socialism will come after that. The mask will come off once the guns have been gotten by the authorities. Is that, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. And the problem is we need to remember what every veteran now and it's passed on has done for this country to keep this freedom. As what, back in the day when we were fighting Japan, they already had stated, hey, we cannot fight. We can't land on America and fight them. They have more guns than they do grass, blades of grass. So the idea that you can take something from someone without them fighting back, you've already won. Mm. If you have no firearm to protect yourself, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do. Mm. The only thing communism and socialism ever made that's reliable and robust and will work for you is the AK-47. Everything else that they've done is just hurt people and destroy people. I mean, it's, can you imagine tomorrow, Lord willing, this never happens. I have a very good friend of mine. He's paralyzed from the waist down tomorrow. If he has five thugs break into his home, what's he supposed to do if he's not allowed to have a firearm? Mm-hmm. You know, I agree totally. If this country disarmed, it'd be so easy to take it over. They're not scared of our government. They're scared of our people, the American citizen that will not stand for any of this. Mm-hmm. We are all heavily armed, and it's got to be that way. And I'm not just talking like you've got a gazillion guns and you've got I'm talking about someone like you, me, or someone else, or a veteran, even better, that even just a .22 rifle or just a handgun, what that can do against a horrible, evil adversary is a whole different scheme of things. Mm-hmm. But if you take everything away, why is it the Second Amendment is the Second Amendment? We all know why. Because the First Amendment has to be enforced. How would it be enforced without the Second Amendment?
Right. Exactly. For those of you just joining the program, we have on our line Dave Robertson, who's a 15-year Homeland Security instructor, certified gun instructor. Dave, you also instruct self-defense, right?
Yes. What I do is I pretty much cover anything. There's several things involved, but you have kicking, punching, trapping, grappling. Then you have gun and knife, and then you have stick and firearm. On that, you've got all these different ranges of fighting. So if you have some knowledge in each one of those ranges, you have a better chance of winning. It's great to carry a gun, but if you're not able to get that gun out, you got to have some empty hand skills mm-hmm. to get to your gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the amazing things that I learned from you when I took your class. And I know a lot of our viewers are around the country and around the globe. We have Peter from Australia, and we have Australian Ben in there. You know, in fact, speaking of Australia, I understand, and I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I think the way they got the guns out of the hands of the people was there was some mass school shooting of some sort. I think that's how that went. And everybody goes, the children.
It's a mass shooting. I don't remember if it was a school or just a mass shooting. Mm-hmm. But then they went crazy with it.
Yeah. Right. And they said, right. And then they said, well, we've got to do something. We've got to get the guns there. And at that time, everybody's whipped into a frenzy. And then it's like, if you disagree, then you hate kids, you know. So, you know, they agreed. Now they've got full-on socialism.
Yes. And look at Britain. Britain banned their firearms and their crime went up, not down. If we look at every major city in this country, okay, we already know who's over them. I'm sure you can expound on that, but on that, or we both can, but the whole thing is when you have a gun-free zone, you're going to have more crime. When you or me or anyone else, I'm not talking about someone that's a criminal. I'm talking about a citizen that does the right thing. They pay their taxes. They go to work. They try to better society. When they're not able to protect themselves, then that's when people get killed.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, as a gun instructor and a defense expert, and I think, didn't you also, are you a black belt, or did you have some?
Yeah, I have a black belt in a martial art.
Martial arts, that's all
I want to say. And then I woke up and got into the Filipino martial arts and the JKD. Mm-hmm. And then I also involved with knife defense, knife fighting, stick fighting, grappling, trapping, all of it, to where basically the JKD way, which is if it works, use it. If it doesn't, don't use it.
Mm-hmm. All right. From your expertise point of view, would you say everyone needs to own a gun? What would be your statement on that?
So here's the way I look at that. I look at a firearm. One, there's all these pluses to a firearm. One, it's fun to go out and shoot, to shoot at targets, multiple targets, to engage, to do all that. It's really fun. It's one of the only things you can do, Daniel, that it's instant gratification, as well as you know.
Yeah, I do.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, let's throw that aside. Right now, what other tool can you have that can make you an equalizer against someone that is on drugs, someone that is trained, but they're mentally not right in the head, they're gone, schizophrenic, whatever, they're not on their medication, whatever the case might be, or they just drive by your house and see your flat screen and they're out of Xanax and they want their drugs? I've talked to drug addicts. I've fought drug addicts. They don't have anything against you or me. The only thing in their mind is their next fix. Now, that's one problem we have to worry about, and that can happen in your home, while you're traveling, going to the grocery store, whatever you're doing. Now let's throw all that aside. Number three, terrorist activity. If you walk into an area and there's a terrorist act going on, and you know, I have the utmost respect for our military and law enforcement that's really put a damper on that, and President Trump. So on that, with all this being said, all these variables are just some of the aspects of why you would own a firearm. Now, another one, maybe you don't really want to do much with a firearm. You don't believe in shooting all the time. You're not really into that, but you want to be able to protect your family. It's not about you. You just want to be able to protect your family. So there's so many different variables there.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Obviously, and when you were working with me, it seemed like you could do anything you can make a weapon out of anything. Is it possible with enough training that a person could be sort of like a John Wick? He once killed three men with a pencil.
Right.
A pencil, because they took his car and killed his dog. Another time he killed somebody with a book. If a person is trained enough or motivated enough or skilled enough, could he or she look at anything within their grasp as a weapon?
Yes, even rolling up a magazine or a newspaper. A rolled up newspaper will break your arm.
All right. Dave, we've got dozens of questions. People watching the show, so as I told you, I were kind of forewarned.
Everybody's, you know, it's funny you say that, Daniel, though. Everybody went to John Wick. Everything's changed since that movie.
Yeah, it is. And I think there's a John Wick 4. It's my wife and I's favorite trilogy of shows, man. We get a kick out of it. Yeah, her favorite part is I think it's John Wick 3, where the horse is used as a weapon. I don't know if you've seen that one, but
I thought that was awesome.
Boom, kick on command. Or the dogs. Man, the dog scenes, unbelievable. All right.
But make sure that when some five guys are shooting at you, mm-hmm. don't take someone down. Shoot and move.
Shoot and move. Shoot and move. Okay, because he does spend a lot of time blasting.
Go to the ground.
Okay. Yeah, he does spend a lot of time making sure that he gets a headshot in every single one, but you're right. I think if you got multiple targets, you got to move along, man. You only got so many rounds anyway in the magazine. All right, Australian Ben. Okay, he's actually going to be a guest on the program, and he told me some things going on in Australia. Is having 10,000 rounds of ammo satisfactory or not nearly enough for the coming madness?
It's just according. A lot of that's going to be where you are. Because if you're located with a lot of people or in a big area, a big city, you're not going to carry all that. Mm-hmm. So if you're out to where you're going to be in a sustained environment where you don't have to move, that's not bad at all. But if you're in an environment where you're going to have to get out and move, it's not going to do you any good.
Mm-hmm. Somebody in the live chat put down a quote from Predator where he says, "If it bleeds, you can kill it."
Yes.
All right. Hey, and then you got. Now, are you as precise as the cleric in the movie Equilibrium?
Well, let's just say.
How'd you like that? That was impromptu, right there.
you're only good as you train.
Okay. How often should somebody train?
At least once a month.
Once a month.
Minimum.
Okay. All right. Let's get a few more questions. This is going pretty good for us, Dave. Truth and Treasure says, if our guns are registered, won't they just take them all away from us? And so they're talking about the registry.
They have that ability to do that. But let's be realistic. If they really want to do it, they have your Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they can do whatever they want, just like we know now. I mean, look what they did with COVID. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a proven fact right there. For some people, that's the test run of how obedient we will be if they make us walk around like zombies like they do. Which, by the way, I do know that Highsmith gun doesn't require a mask, and that's awesome there. All right, Pony Red Rose 2000 says, Dave, what's the deal with the ammo shortages? Is it real or is it a manufactured cash grab?
So, from my understanding, and I'm not a complete expert on all the production that's going on, but you have so many variables going on. You have law enforcement having trouble getting ammo, so they're going to be first on the list, and maybe military, of course. Then you have, of course, everybody and their uncle that's never owned a firearm buying ammo. But then you got to remember, say Daniel, you go to Highsmith Guns, you walk in, you go, I want this firearm. Okay, I need ammo for it. I'm sorry, we don't have any right now. We're trying to get it. So what are you going to do? You're going to go everywhere else, and you're going to try to find that ammo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, times a million, that's the problem.
Mm. And let me ask you about that, Dave, because it seems that it's like really even, let's just say, mask making. Okay, you can buy every kind of mask known to man, whereas last year you couldn't even get them. I mean, there were maybe a few out there. But now, I mean, designer mask. I mean, a whole cottage industry, it just blossomed overnight. Everybody and their brother selling masks now. It would seem, with the demand for bullets, that all sorts of companies would say, wow, this is a cash bonanza. Let's expand production. Let's build plants. There should be so much competition to grab. People are demanding to buy something. Why isn't the industry filling that gap?
They are working 24/7. I think there's been some COVID issues with it. And then I also think the big thing is, like, if we wanted to start right now, we could get everything we need to do it, but we'd have a hard time getting the primers,
mm-hmm.
the primers for the actual cartridge. So that's a big issue right now. Primers are it's more scarce than the actual cartridges in themselves.
Okay. Describe for the folks what the primer is.
Primer is basically like your toy cap gun. What it does, the firing pin hits the primer, which is in the back of the cartridge, and detonates it, which causes a spark, a little anvil inside, drives into the main charge of the cartridge, which explodes, and then pushes the barrel out the barrel. I'm sorry, pushes the bullet out the barrel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks for that. We'll be talking more gun tech specs here as we go. All right, Z Rider says, Dave, how difficult is it to learn to make a proper gun or a muzzle loader? I guess, can somebody build their own gun?
Yes, you're legal to build your own firearm. I'm not an ATF expert on that, but there is, you can research it. But you are able, I would go onto like an ATF website and see what the variables on there, but a muzzleloader is not considered a firearm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and back to my point about ammos and guns to begin with, man, it just seems to me there's, if a company just come out of zero, they would be instantly millionaires, it just seems, if they could just make some guns.
See, the problem is they can't, the problem, Daniel, they can't get the components.
But couldn't part of the factory make those components?
I don't know how hard it would be to make the primers.
Okay. All right. Let's get some more questions coming in for you, Dave. Oh, by the way, let me ask one of my own questions. When it comes to concealed carry, what size and type of gun do you feel is best?
If you are wanting to do 100% the best thing for you, the biggest, most controllable firearm you can carry that you can conceal. That's your best way to go. Bigger is always better as far as size because you can control it better.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key to it. Mm-hmm. So if you have a smaller gun, you need to really work with it because usually you're not going to be as accurate with a smaller firearm.
Mm-hmm. Is When it comes to a concealed carry, is there a term, correct me, you're the expert, but is there a term called shadowing or something to that effect where you can see it protrude through whatever? What is that word?
There's different ways to look at it. And basically, I just say you're advertising it.
Okay.
So some people, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, isn't there a debate whether or not you should kind of let people see that bulge knowing you're packing? Or the others that says you shouldn't let them know? I mean, where do you come down on that?
So here's the way I believe about self-defense in general, no matter what it is. Okay? Daniel, if you were a whatever degree black belt, you trained all over the world, you trained some Navy SEALs, you've done everything. I don't think if someone came up to you and was aggressive to you or just saying names to you and being a little aggressive, that you're going to drop into a karate stance. Mm-hmm. Okay? You're advertising. So on that, if you have a firearm on you, you don't know who else is involved. Maybe that guy in front of you does see your firearm, he goes for it, or he's just sitting there to get you to look at him while his buddy comes up and does something to you. I believe you never show your aces. Now, on the other side of the coin, Daniel, I think we have our God-given right in this country, and too many people died for the fact that we should be able to carry openly. Mm-hmm. But me personally, I just don't think it's a good idea because anybody sees your gun.
Mm-hmm. Now, there have been episodes in this country recently where that's been a plus to show your guns. I know that a couple places in Oregon where Antifa was scheduled to come in, and I know there's at least one town, I think there's two or three now that have done this, where the whole town comes out with their AR-15s and their guns and all their ammo, and they are packed to the gills, and they're standing on the streets, and the Antifa comes walking by and says, we're just passing through, man. You know, so that's a good time to show what you got.
Amen. And that right there, there's a good video of a situation like that in a small neighborhood, and they got a little aggressive. But even when it got aggressive, they did such a great job, Daniel, because they said, hey, the guy was screaming, keep your hand off the firearm, because it was just a hand-to-hand thing. Mm-hmm. There was a squabble and some fighting going on. But the gentleman there let everybody know, do not touch your firearm right now, because it was a hand-to-hand thing. So they controlled it. You look at all these situations when the NRA or some of these states where they're getting ready to try to ban stuff and everybody gets together and they got their firearms on and they go down and they, you know, do their way of protesting. Nobody gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Right. Everybody's fine. Mm-hmm. That's the way it should be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the safest place to be is at a gun rally, it sounds to me. All right, let's get to another question. Put Yahweh first, is Dave. Will they use the United Nations to disarm us if it ever comes to that?
I agree with that, and I think that is true. Because if you think about this, even in the late 80s, early 90s, there was petitions or there was literature sent out to American soldiers stating, do you have a problem, in so many words, disarming Americans? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that right there lets you know. I mean, it's kind of scary, you know, blue helmets, you'll see them a long ways off. That's a plus. But the big thing is with the UN, they do whatever they want. And who pays them more than anyone? Us. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole nother issue of the fact that we have to be able to police ourselves.
Yeah, kind of a political question here, but your general feeling, a lot of chatter on the internet, of course, always is in there, concerning the election. There are people that are suggesting there's going to be conflicts any way it goes. Are you sensing there will be, or is that just Y2K type hype?
I think the people that riot and do what they do already and have been doing are going to do what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. They're going to do it anyways. I mean, they do it over sports.
Yeah, well, they do.
A championship, and you go to destroy buildings, mm-hmm. you know, in your own area.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you live downtown, you destroy downtown here in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. How's that helping anyone?
Right.
So I think it could, mm-hmm. but I also think that, in my opinion, the media makes it worse. So.
Yeah, because they get clicks and likes and shares and stuff. You know, bad news is travels a lot faster than good news, that's for daggone sure, and they make money from it, and it's sick. All right. Truth or Trish says, how hard is it to make your own ammunition? I think maybe back to the primer situation, aren't we?
As long as you can get some primers in your powder and your actual case, which is the brass part of your cartridge. If you can get all that, do some research. I would think the best thing you could do is get some training on that. Find someone that does reloading. NRA does reloading training. Mm-hmm. But you want to get some training on that and do it the right way, not the wrong way. But it can easily be done, and you could get started with it. I'm sure after the election, hopefully this will slow down and people will get into this. And this is another plus, Daniel, to America. You have people now that have never done this before are thinking completely different about what you just said. Some people that have always shot firearms legally never have any trouble. They have it for fun activity or self-defense or hunting. Now they're like, hey, I need to be able to reload. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a plus all the way around.
Okay. Azure says, does the Castle Doctrine apply in all 50 states?
I don't have a clue on that. And I'm glad you brought this up, because I get this asked all the time. Is my gun permit good in another state? So you have to be very careful with all this. I think what you need to do, one, you should try to contact or find a lawyer in your state. Or here's the problem. You really can't even go with state, because one little county might be different than the other county. Mm-hmm. They may have their own crazy law. You know, just like you've probably heard about this. You know, you do everything right with TSA, you fill out your paperwork right, and then you land somewhere and you get arrested.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here's the thing on this one, Daniel, it's super important. If you are going to travel in another state or have this come up in another state, make sure you go to the state website and see what their firearms protocol, their laws are, not what you see on a website that everyone says, oh, you're good here, you're not good here. Mm-hmm. Don't go that route.
Yeah. And it's interesting, it's come up because in our Bear report, which preceded this show here, Bear, who's part of this show, brings us headlines. He's talking about President Trump said he would sign a reciprocity bill if it came to his desk. But I got a feeling the House ain't never going to let that happen.
No, I don't think they will. And they're not even happy with it the way it is right now. You got to remember right now, what it would it be like right now if Trump never got in on your firearms? It would be rough right now. Pretty much everything you have would be double, triple the price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if there ever was the Wizard of Oz, the curtain pulled back to see exactly what evil, if Trump didn't get in, we would have no idea the depth of depravity and evil that is behind that curtain. Because as Americans, we always try to believe the best, and the older of us always were taught to kind of respect the law, respect elders. Now there's no such thing. But for those of us, you know, so we always believe the government had the best intentions. But man, when Trump got in, he just threw a sticky bomb in there, blew all the curtains open, man. Everybody's been exposed. And man, the evil that's behind it, we had no idea how bad it is. Let's get some more questions. It says, does a federal law apply if the government does an arms confiscation, or does the state law supersede it?
On that, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going to just give you my two cents. It would be according to what they're charging you with. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to boil down to. Mm-hmm. Because some federal laws will come up with in a state if you break a federal firearms law, and back and forth. Mm-hmm. So that also goes back to, like I said, you might have some crazy county that you can have this, but nowhere else. Mm-hmm. Or it might be the other thing, this county, this area in Chicago, New York, whatever, they might just say, hey, look, this is, we're not having this, and we're going to prosecute you. Mm-hmm. So on that, there's such a gray area there. You mm-hmm. really have to research where you're at.
Mm-hmm. This isn't a Trump show here, but I got to say, as a myself, and I'm sure you are an avid supporter of the Second Amendment, and I'm sure hopefully the people watching the program are, but he's described himself as the wall to protect the Second Amendment. Because when he's gone, I don't know that there is anybody of his caliber and strength of character and will, sheer will, to protect that Second Amendment. Because after that, there's a bunch of mealy-mouthed politicians wearing suits just figuring out how to get rich off the government. And that may include having gun confiscations if it makes them more money.
So if right now, Daniel, I threaten you, I treat you horribly, I send a letter of I'm going to do bodily harm to you or whatever the case might be, do you get to pick up the phone and get Secret Service to surround your place?
No.
If they don't live in the same world we live in.
No, they definitely don't live in the same world. Two cases come up here in the last year or so. Talk about the first one here real quick, and we'll get back to just gun specs and things. Kyle Rittenhouse, did he have a right to protect himself, or was he just a stone-cold killer?
I am so sorry. I'm having a brain fart here.
Yeah, he's the kid. He's a 17-year-old kid that was chased down by Antifa, and he shot, I think killed one or two of them after they were shooting at him.
Oh, he was running, and then he shot one, and he kept running, and they kept attacking him.
Yeah, right. That guy.
The only reason he was running was because he was being attacked. Mm-hmm. Now, in my opinion on that, there's a lot of variables here. One, I think he was absolutely justified in what he did. My problem is, if that was my son, why would I have him there?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a hell of a place to be. Believe it or not, he actually had good intentions, man. He was at one place cleaning up graffiti, and I think some business owner called wherever group he's with, say, "Hey, they're burning, looting stores. Can you come help us? Just stand around and help us, you know." And he kind of answered that call. Second case, as you're well aware, the couple that come out in the front lawn and wave their guns because they were being marched on and threatened. Were they guilty of brandishing guns illegally, or did they have a right to come out in their lawn and wave some guns?
Well, so on that, you're on your own property. So their biggest mistake is where they live. They live in a area where, you know, they hate firearms. They hate,
mm-hmm, right,
you know, Americans, in my opinion. So on that, the only thing I would say is never have your finger on the trigger unless you actually are going to fire. So to me, that's very intimidating. I'm being honest. Were mm-hmm. they right? They were mm-hmm. absolutely right. They're on their own property. The gate was knocked down. What are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to wait until they go inside and then they burn their house? We don't know what they were going to throw at the house. We don't know what they might do. They might break in. I mean, were they justified to have their firearms on their property? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, we weren't there, so we don't know all the variables there, but if you're threatening me, a crowd is coming at me and threatening me, mm-hmm, absolutely. The only thing I would say to them is they should have took some cover, concealment, and been in a better firing position if they had to fire. Mm-hmm. But everyone forgets, this is really important, Daniel, everybody forgets, did they shoot anyone?
No. Never fired a weapon.
They didn't do anything. So everyone forgets that. They just play the card of, look at what they did with their firearms. Mm-hmm. They didn't fire one shot. So in my opinion, if you had a crowd coming at you saying names or whatever the case might be, mm-hmm, I thought they showed great restraint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when I took gun training with you, man, I was like a sponge just soaking it. I couldn't believe there are so many parts, because I don't think I'm probably representative of most people. You know, I've got what guns I have, which I will not state on this program. Let's just say I have enough to stave off the first wave, maybe second wave or two. How you demonstrated when somebody's at your front door, you know, I would think, well, you just open the door and you got your gun, and that's not the way it is at all. There are so many things to that. Where you should be if you know an armed intruder is out there, and the angles that you should already now, and on that. So, is that something that needs to be so ingrained and trained in us that it's instinct, where to be, how to handle the weapon when your house, your home is being approached? Is that something that you get to the point where it's automatic, or do you got to sort of remember or look at the situation? So, well, if he's over there, I need to be here. I mean, how are these calculations made in this situation?
So it goes back through training, and that's a constant thing. It's constant evolution of training. So on that, you want to work on it, but here's a great thing that you can do, and the viewers, anyone can do. This is a plus. Whenever you go anywhere, where could you be? Once you get some quality training with someone, okay, then when you walk into a building, a new building, walking down the street, whatever you're doing, wherever, whatever environment you're in, okay, that'd be a place I could go if I needed to. Mm-hmm. That's a horrible place to be. I don't want to be there. Start, and then that will register in your mind, and you'll have that file always there to access.
Mm-hmm. So are you talking about situational awareness? Is this something that
all the time?
All the time, because that's my going to be a follow up question. So wherever you, and really, it could happen anywhere. I mean, people are sitting at restaurants now and being accosted. Now, fortunately, that's not happened in Indianapolis yet, but Indianapolis was looted and burned, so that thing's a disaster downtown. I don't know if they ever recover from that. I don't know if people trust it. But other cities, you're sitting at a restaurant, and they come in, or McDonald's, they jump up on the counter. I mean, so I think as time goes by, that kind of, and that evil presence is, I think that's pretty much everywhere. So are you suggesting then that the situational awareness needs to be applied, say, if there's a movie, well, of course, movies are gone, but, you know, you go to a bar or wherever you go, you need to think of exits and strategies. Do you do that?
Absolutely. And you will never catch me eating at a restaurant at the front door.
Ah, tip. Good.
If possible, I want to be able to see the bathroom mm-hmm. entrance. Mm-hmm. And I want to see the exits, and I want to have a fighting chance. I don't really want to be the first one that goes, because I'm sitting at the front door. I've had even my kids are trained that way. We go into a restaurant and they're like, "Oh, okay, we'll have you over." No, I'm sorry. And then they'll move me. I've even done it more than once in Greenfield, after Highsmith or whatever. After training, they're like, "Oh, we're gonna have you sit here." No, I'm sorry. Oh, can we? No, I'm not sitting there either. It's not worth it.
Wow. So it's kind of like having people in the shields. Okay, well, they'll take out those two in the front counter, the front window there, and then those two off to the side. I'll be back. You got more of a fighting chance. That is good news. But you know what? I've also said this, and I don't know if I told you that during training, but situational awareness, as I was watching some of the highway attacks, people in their cars stuck, I come up with probably somebody's already thought about it, but I come up with a plan, and that is I should always be in the right lane next to the burn, because if there's a stoppage in traffic and they're out there and they start coming to the cars and dragging people out, if you're by the burn, that lane is the only one that can make a U-turn, go down the burn side and get on the exit you just come out of. Where if you're in the middle two lanes, you're stuck. How you like that tip?
No, I agree with that. And the big thing is, on those situations, God forbid, you want to be able to never pull up right against your car. If there's a car in front of you, never pull up right against it. Even in normal, even without a riot or a crazy situation, when you're in your vehicle, give yourself some space when you stop and there's a car in front of you. Because if you give yourself space, God forbid, in a riot or a carjacking, you can push through between two cars and drive and get out. They train police officers to do that.
Wow. So how much space? A car space or what? How much space?
At least half of that, enough room that you could jerk your car over and drive between the two cars. Now, and that's not if you're running late, Daniel. That's only in a bad situation.
True story, Dave. I was driving up Delaware in downtown Indianapolis just recently, and evidently I got too close to the guy in front of me, and he stopped in the middle of the street right in front of me, blocking traffic, and he just sat there. And I was kind of trapped because there's cars on either side. I was thinking, crap, man, there's no space. I can't go anywhere. This guy's liable to come out and drag me out. And he was aggravated that I was close, but it was either road rage or he's one of these freaking Antifa guys that just drag people out and fight them anyway because they're freaks. But let me ask you something. Should a person, if they don't conceal carry, should they carry a weapon on their vehicle?
Yes, I'm big on that. But you got to remember, if you carry in your vehicle, you have to be able to get to it, and you need to be trained that way. You know, you don't want to be that guy that tries to use his firearm and he shoots his dash because he gets his gun stuck in the steering wheel. So there's a lot of training involved there. And you got to remember, too, it's going to be extremely loud because you're in a very confined space if it goes off.
Okay.
And then the other variables here that are huge with this, Daniel, is think about the fact that bullets react completely different to matter. So when you shoot one of those windows or shoot through a glass, that bullet can do crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of variables there.
Like it could veer off, perhaps injure the guy that's shooting?
Well, it could bounce around if you don't hit, if you don't go through. A lot of basically the knowledge on that is, God forbid you had to do something like that and you shoot through, the first round is just to put a hole in the window windshield so that you can be accurate. Mm-hmm. Right. Where's that first round going? Is it going to go up, down, veer off and hit an innocent person? There's a lot of variables there.
Well, that's interesting.
So if you
say
ever have to do that, there's a lot of crazy situations that can pop up. You might did the right thing, but you might also hurt an innocent. So you got to be extremely careful.
Actually, Dave, I seen something to that effect in a video where it was a closed circuit TV at a gas station. A guy went up to a woman in her car, tried to open the door and grab her gun or money or something, and then she pulls out a gun and starts shot at him two or three times, but the bullets actually hit the car at the next pump, and it fortunately veered, it flicked off the windshield, and then it hit a van. So, man, you got to be extremely careful if you do discharge that weapon. All right, more questions coming in for you. Raul Sanchez says, Dave, can movies and TV shows with guns teach us how to use them?
Absolutely not. It is the most horrible place to get any training at all on a firearm. The goal is to look cool, and people want to watch the movie over and over again. It's a spectacle. It's not real. Mm-hmm. Basically, when you watch firearms in any TV show or movie, you're watching basically pro wrestling.
Okay. Hey, there was something that you taught me. Maybe I want to talk about it now. And that is, I don't know if you call it that or how it is, but is it called the homie method? And you actually showed that there's some good points to the homie way to hold a gun.
No, we were doing it as a joke. Remember, Daniel?
Yeah.
What I said was, can't the firearm just a little bit in with your single hand?
Yeah.
And never do full homie. And the joke was, we called it half homie.
Half homie. Oh, yeah.
What you do is you don't hold straight because it's only your tricep holding the gun.
Yeah.
But if you just cant it a little bit, not much at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just come in just ever so slightly, you're fine.
Okay. Don't go full homie. Half homie.
Never go full homie.
Oh, man. That's awesome. All right. When it comes to the long rifles, what are we talking about here? Do we need $2,000 AR-15s? $800. I mean, is there a difference in quality when it comes to self-protection?
Yes. So, like at Highsmith, we have all these, when we can get them in, because it's incredible how many ARs we've sold. And on that, so you might have you want a mil-spec AR-15 platform. You want to make sure that it's mil-spec. How do you know that? You could Google it. You could look it up. You can ask someone. You want a mil-spec firearm. So on that, basically what you're doing is you're getting a firearm that would work under military specs. Always purchase, if possible, a 556 cartridge, one that'll shoot a 556, over buying an AR-15 that shoots a 223. Because the SAMI specs, you want a 556 chamber, then you can shoot 223 in it, but not vice versa. That's super important.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to mil-spec, and you're looking at a gun, you're researching it, Googling it, would it be that one that isn't mil-spec, there just wouldn't be a line that says it is, but if you look at another weapon and it says mil-spec, is that how it is? It just won't be there? Or would it say not to mil-spec?
It might not even comment on it.
Right, just no comment at all on it. If you can't find it in the specs, then it's...
Yes, you could look up a certain model of AR-15 in a certain caliber manufacturer and Google that and see if it's mil-spec. The reason why you want mil-spec is to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Do you have a preference of American-built guns versus overseas?
It's according to what it is. I'm a big proponent of Glocks and M&Ps, okay? And I don't have anything against SIG. My big concern is it going to work under all circumstances? That's my only concern. Mm-hmm. We're selling a lot of, at Highsmith, there's been a big jump in revolver sales. We always sell a ton of semi-autos, carbines and such, but there's also been a big jump on everything because of that. So if you look at it this way, a revolver, you don't have to worry about it jamming. If it doesn't fire, the primer doesn't detonate, you just hit the trigger again. On an AR-15 platform, there's a lot of training involved. So you want to make sure you have a mil-spec one so that it's going to have a better possibility of always working. Mm-hmm. Just like American manufacturers, there's plenty of good American manufacturers of ARs, of semi-automatic pistols. But I'm a big proponent of the Glock and also the M&P, which in one regard are the same gun. There's hardly any difference between them.
Okay, describe for us the definition between non-semi-automatic, automatic, full automatic. Go through the variations there for us.
Okay, so in order for you to have a fully automatic firearm, it's a rich man's game now, or a very, well, you know, very high middle class.
Okay.
So on that, if say you come to me and we're at Highsmith and you go, "Hey, Dave, I want a fully automatic firearm." Okay, so are you willing to spend $20,000, $25,000, $15,000? That's just a start.
Okay. And what does it mean?
You have a class three permit.
Okay.
You got to go through all that stuff. So when I mean select fire class three, that means when you can either fire semi-automatically, or there's a switch on there. You go from safe to fully automatic or semi-automatic. Mm-hmm. When you go to full automatic, it will either fire a three-shot burst or it will dump the whole mag as long as you hold onto the trigger. Now, legally, anyone can have a semi-automatic rifle, mm-hmm. as long as they're not a felon or whatever. On that, it's real important because the assault rifle, an AR is not an assault rifle. An AR is a semi-automatic rifle that actually fires a 22 caliber bullet. I can give you a bolt, put it in your AR-15, and you can shoot 22 long rifle.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that Congress still refers to the AR-15 or any AR gun as assault rifle? They are so stupid. They think that AR means assault rifle. What are they trying to trick people?
Yeah, it's that term started with the crime bill with Bill Clinton. That's when it started.
Yeah.
The actual first assault rifle was designed by the Nazis during World War II. Mm-hmm. And then other firearms were made that way. The whole thing is, and here's the thing, Daniel, to let everybody know, having a fully automatic weapon because you think it's going to be better in a fight, it's not. Anyone that's in any military action for the most part, they're not firing full auto. They're firing one trigger at a time, or they might fire more than once, but they're not sitting there on full auto because it's not accurate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not accurate at all.
It sort of sounds cool, but in reality, it doesn't sound like it works. So the single trigger, so is it like this then? The single trigger and then semi-automatic and then full automatic, or is there any variation between those?
Okay, I'm sorry. I should already answer that for you. So on that, when you pull the trigger once, that's semi-auto. If you switch it to full auto, you hit the trigger. As long as you hold the trigger in, it's going to keep firing until the mag is empty. So what a lot of people do, if they're doing full auto, they'll hit the trigger and let off real quick, and it will burst out two or three rounds, mm-hmm. or more, according to what kind of firearm it is. Mm-hmm. So on that, some will do a three-shot burst like our military has now in the M16 platform, the M4. And then they also have variations that are full auto. So when you hit the trigger, it'll go full auto. Mm-hmm. So it will not stop firing until you let off the trigger. Where semi-auto, you hit the trigger, it's only going to fire once.
What would be the scenario to have a full automatic when waves of hordes of gangsters are heading your way?
Well, even with hordes, you're not going to want to dump all your rounds into one of them. So I just don't see it.
Okay. If you did, he wouldn't be getting up very quickly.
You got 30 guys on you and you fire a 30-round mag into one person, you got to reload.
What do you think about, Dave Robinson, what do you think about body armor?
I think body armor is a good thing. I don't have anything against it. I think it would be something that everyone should have in certain circumstances. With body armor, it changes everything because you're going to have to, if you actually wore it, or you have like a body armor vest set up and you have like mag carriers on it, that would be what we call a go bag in a sense. So you could have that with a backpack and you can go. If you're not going anywhere, you can just put it on. But if you need to go, that's something you could have with it if you're not going to stay where you are in a very crisis, bad situation.
When it comes to, say, a revolver versus, say, a Glock, are revolvers fine for personal protection?
I think they're absolutely fine. Now, we have pluses and minuses, as you well know, Daniel. So if you have a Glock 17 or your M&P, you have more rounds capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. Okay? Mm-hmm.
So, but on that, if I'm doing any crazy kind of security detail, I still like having a revolver in my pocket.
Wow.
In a pocket holster, but I've trained with it. And nothing else goes in that pocket, only the gun. I'm not going to put my keys in there, so I shoot myself in the leg. Mm-hmm. Only the gun. Mm-hmm. So on that, it always goes bang for the most part. Mm-hmm. But Daniel, we're really limited on our ammo. We only have 5 shots or 6 shots or up to 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, hopefully for self-protection, one wouldn't need more than that, because that seems to me, if it's more than that, then there's going to be a major fight involved there. In what circumstance would somebody need body armor? If they say if they're going into a metropolitan area and riots are sort of seen in other places, I mean, is it where you would think riots would happen, or would you think it should be an everyday thing, just get used to it?
Well, in reality, I think that having firearms, you have a vest, so the probability of you getting injured in a bad situation, the vest is just going to give you an extra protection. So if I was going to leave an area, I'd want a vest. If I'm staying in an area, I'd want a vest.
Mm-hmm. At the last Democrat town hall meeting, I believe Joe Biden said that when it comes to police shootings, they should shoot the perpetrator in the leg, rather than, say, go for a kill in the central body area. Would you agree with that or disagree with that philosophy?
I think that is your own choice, your personal own choice. But on that, you train with me. How hard, if I'm coming at you with a knife or a gun, mm-hmm. how hard would it be for you at close distance to shoot me in the leg?
Very hard.
Okay. So on that, I always say this to people. It is your own personal decision, but I'm going to give you the hard facts. God forbid you were with your family and you decided to shoot me in the leg. I came through your door with a machete or whatever. You shoot me in the leg, I still take you down. You're sitting there laying there, and I'm hopping around, but it didn't stop me because I'm on whatever drug, mm-hmm. and you get to watch what I do to your family. I don't want to be in that position. Number two, if someone's breaking in, you don't know if there's another one. So my personal opinion is, if someone's trying to kill me and I'm endangered, I'm in fear of my life or my family's life or an innocent person anywhere's life, I have to stop them as fast as I can. Mm-hmm. My probability of hitting them is very slim. Police do not aim for arms or legs. Our military, when they engage overseas, their goal is not to shoot them in the leg. Now, on the other side of the coin on this, Daniel, it's super important. Goes back to training, how important training is. If there is a bad element trying to hurt a good element, your family, whoever, you need to make sure that you might only have that shot too. Mm-hmm. You might only have a leg shot, an arm shot. You don't know.
Now, that theory may be coming to fruition right here in Indianapolis. Dave, I spoke with the head of the homicide department at the Indianapolis Police Department. Now, as you may be aware, Indianapolis, one of many cities now that is putting civilians on the board to oversee police in a number enough to, if there's, for police matters, it seems to me they would probably vote that way, that police have to shoot in the leg. It sounds like of course they don't have any training whatsoever, and that the whole mentality. But let me ask you another question, Dave. And I know you've dealt with Homeland Security. You've been training a lot of people. You're an expert with weapons and knives and anything really could become a weapon. Has somebody you met killed somebody in self-defense for their home invasion or police action? And have they ever confided to you and said, I should never have killed him. I don't know why. I'm haunted. Have you ever had those conversations?
Yes, I've had that with even people overseas, but the big thing on that is everything happens so fast that, they would say, I wish there was another way I could have resolved this. I wish there was another way I could have handled this, but I didn't have a choice. And they're more upset that maybe, hey, I wish there was something else I could have done, but there was nothing else they could do. There's nothing they could do. In the situations like that too, you usually get hurt, and I've heard this a lot from people that have been in bad situations with firearms where they had to use them. It's those peers that work with them, or that person that just, oh, I hate to do this, but I've got to do it, and then it's too late. And then it goes bad, and the officer gets shot, or one of our military folk, they get injured because somebody second-guessed what they knew they should have done in the first place. That's a scary situation. And it's not because they're wrong, it's because they have humanity and they don't even want to do this. Other people will say that it happens so fast because they've trained that way that they don't even know how many rounds they fired until it's over. And they're like, did I do everything right? Because you have an adrenaline flush, you have a lot going on. You're not mentally the same person you were right before that happened.
Reminds me of a scene in Tombstone where Wyatt Earp is telling his younger brother. He said, in all those cow towns, I was only involved in one shooting, and I took a man's life. And boy, you don't ever want to know how that feels." Whew, that's heavy duty
Yeah,
right
I've never
there.
heard anyone go, whoop-de-doo, I had to do this. And that's like going back to when I did some personal security work, and my peers would be like, why didn't you just go ahead and just beat that dude up, smash him? Why did you just talk him down? Why did you just, I said, because what am I going to prove by doing that? I'm not going to prove anything. If I can talk a guy out of something, I'm going to talk him out of it. I don't want to use violence. The goal is to never use violence, but if you're going to use it, you've got to be more evil than them. And if you're not going to do that, you're not going to win.
And then there's the point of hesitation. How do you overcome that hesitation?
Training.
Good point. Somebody has a question here for you, Dave. It says, what do you think about this 12-gauge shotgun?
I think the shotgun is a firearm weapon that is underrated. I don't believe that the police should have got rid of them and went to carbines. I think both are important. I think for some circumstances, I'd much rather have a shotgun. But the difference with the, excuse me, the difference with the shotgun is you have to be highly trained on it. You have to know how it works. You have to keep it fed, whatever kind of weapon or shotgun it is. It's not like an AR platform, some automatic rifle, or a handgun. You got to keep it fed because it will empty fast. You have to control it. You have to understand how to make the recoil work in your favor and not against you. You have to really do everything right. And then you got to remember that birdshot will still go through drywall.
So could go into the next room. What is the highest round capacity shotgun out there?
Off the top of my head, I want to say they make a 20 or 30 round or 30 shell. We say round, but it's actually a shell because it's a shotgun. Mag. For I think it's the Sega style AK shotguns, which that is a serious amount of firepower at
Well,
close range.
sure is, 'cause see, in my limited brain space, when I'm thinking shotgun, I'm thinking a couple rounds, man. I'm thinking, why would I ever get that? If I'm shooting, I'm going to keep shooting, and then whoever's coming at me ain't going to wait for me to reload. So,
Well, and then the other thing, Daniel, that people don't realize, what other firearm, the 12 gauge, which I do really enjoy and I really think they make a lot of sense. What other firearm can you buy inexpensively and shoot a 70 almost 70 caliber projectile?
And I think the questioner there was talking specifically about the Sega 12. Is that a sound familiar to you?
Yes, that's what I was talking about. I think it takes, it's a drum magazine of either 20 or 30 shells. I don't remember.
Wow.
But it's a lot of firepower. And then they have 5 and 10 shot mags for it too. Now, the plus to that is you can have 2 mags, one with shot in it, double aught buck, and one with slugs in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can carry a lot of ammunition that's readily available. You don't have to feed it into a tube.
Mm-hmm. Is a laser sightings a useless appendage on a weapon?
I don't think it's useless. At Highsmith, we had a gentleman that had a lot of physical problems, and the only way he could be accurate and safe with his firearm, I showed him a technique to use to where he could be accurate at close range, so the rounds went where they needed to go for him for self-defense. So for his situation, he needed the laser.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great guy. Guy was a sweet man, but for him that worked. Now on that, I'll give you pluses and minuses. Laser's great for training. Daniel, you could be shooting, or I could be shooting with the laser on, and you can see if I'm jerking the trigger because the laser's moving more.
Mm.
Now, my problem with the laser is someone breaks into your home, your lights are out, you turn the laser on because you got your gun in your hand, and now they know exactly where you are. You just put a laser light on yourself. My other problem with the laser is, Daniel, what if the batteries go down and you're totally, that's your thing. You got to use your laser. The only way you've ever trained is with that laser. And now your laser, it doesn't work.
Hmm. So that sounds more than what you're describing as one of the TV type things, because most television shows with gunfights have lasers, it seems.
Yes, and the lasers our military folk use overseas, you don't see with your naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
So, different kind of laser.
What kind of self-protection should an elderly person get? One that, and you know, I'm sure you've seen some of the folks as they get real older, they get a little shaky. Is there any kind of self-protection they can get?
Yes, a firearm's fine, and that's where maybe a laser might be better for them or not, but it all goes back to they need to have a firearm that's not going to have a lot of recoil,
mm-hmm.
and put the rounds where they need to go.
How many?
I'm not against 22 long rifle. Is it the best cartridge in the world to stop someone? Absolutely not. But it doesn't matter what cartridge we use. If it, you know, was an elephant gun, if we don't put them where they need to go.
Okay. So I got a perp banging on the door. He's going to bust in. I got a 9mm handgun. I got an AR-15. I got a shotgun. I got a stick of dynamite. Which one should I grab?
Is it just one perp?
Well, I'm assuming they drove up. I'm assuming there's some people in the car.
Okay, so in my personal opinion, it would be the one that you've trained the most with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the one you're most familiar with.
Yes. So the one you've shot the most, that you can clear any jams the most, the one that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're the most proficient with, that you own, which will probably be the handgun, because 9 times out of 10, you probably shot that handgun more than all those other ones.
Mm-hmm. You're right there. Okay. Somebody asked a question, says, Dave, which is better, iron sight or a dot sight?
So a dot sight's faster. Here's my issue with dot sights. I love them, but they're not cheap. A dot sight, a good one, is very expensive. They're mm-hmm. pretty much, you can get an inexpensive one that's going to work for fun, but to have one that's going to work for a bad situation, you're right around $500 minimum.
Mm-hmm. I'm at a place, and the only weapon I got is a knife. I'm going to have to do the thrust, man. Where do I go for?
Oh, if you're thrusting with a knife?
Yeah. Where am I going to stab?
Well, see, that's the problem with that, because if I say something to you, I'd be wrong. Because here's my issue. Without training with a knife, it's really hard for me to say, because which way is the guy positioned or girl that's trying to hurt you?
Mm-hmm.
Which way are you positioned? And what's your environment?
Mm-hmm.
So I could say this, this, and this, but I would be wrong. There's no common answer.
Right.
Because And here's the other thing. You never, I will say this to you. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, the Filipinos are the best with the blade by far over everybody else. Okay. And I've had the ability to train with the best there is in that. On that, we don't stab people unless we absolutely have to. If you came at me with a weapon, say a knife, a machete, or whatever, and I used a blade to protect myself in self-defense, mm-hmm. I'm going to hurt what's trying to hurt me. I'm not going to even go for your body. Go for your, you know, vitals. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for what's trying to hurt me. I would defang the snake. So you got a knife and I've got a stick in my hand. I'm going to hit your hand that's holding the knife. If I take my stick and try to come in on you or my knife and go for your head or a vital area, your heart, your lungs, one of your major arteries, you can still hurt me because now I'm too close. So that gives you an idea. It's kind of it's not an easy question to just say this or this.
Right. And then when I was doing that kind of close combat training with you, man, I learned some stuff, man. I just can't get over how much stuff there is to know. But I mean, how you can be effective in defending yourself. You know, I'm a cowboy. Okay. So I'm thinking, okay, come on, man, we going at it, but it ain't like that. it's not like that at all. It's, I'm going to get myself hurt, man. I'm going to come out on the bad side. If I'm thinking I'm going to duke it out with a killer, that's not the way it rolls, is it?
There's a gentleman that's 84 years old. His name is Danny Inosanto. There's another gentleman that's an older gentleman, not too far from his age, named Leo Gahe. And if we had firearms on us and we're in a room with them, I would jump out the window. I would not try to fight them.
When it comes to harnesses for guns, I think there's kind of a debate out there. 1 point, 2 point, 3 point. Where do you come down on? Are you even familiar with that debate? Is there?
Oh, you're talking about different slings.
Yeah, slings.
Okay. So on that, or harness, I understand what you're saying. But on that, I think you got to work with each one and figure out which one that works for you. Mm-hmm. Some of these slings are so complicated. There's too much there. I like slings that will have a cinch cord on them to where for a carbine or a shotgun that if I'm moving with it, I can cinch it up so it stays close to my body. Mm-hmm. If I don't need to go upstairs, downstairs, up a ladder, down a ladder, I can cinch it up either up or down position. I like stuff like that, but I don't want something too complicated. And that's another thing, like I always say, you've got to have training on it. Mm-hmm.
I know you're seeing me in green screen in the background now and there have been random pictures of weapons of various things. There's an AR-15 and it's by my favorite manufacturer. Now, who do you think my favorite manufacturer of AR-15 would be?
I'm going to go with Colt.
No. Nope. One more try. Oh, I'll give you two more tries.
There's so many.
Okay.
Rock River.
I'll put you on the spot.
Rock River.
Nope. One more try.
Ruger.
Okay, hang on. This is fun because we've got people in the live chat. People in live, now they'd have to know gun manufacturers.
BCM.
Huh?
BCM.
Nope. Somebody in the live chat. Who would be my favorite? Oh, and I could also say, what would be my favorite book in the Bible? That's your tip.
Daniel Defense.
There you go.
I like it. Good job.
Hey, man. Obviously, it's very personal to me. I like Daniel Defense there.
My son's named Daniel. I love that name.
Yeah. And the book of Daniel. And I think you are familiar with that. You know
why he's named that.
You know, interesting, and this might get into the sort of the spiritual thing. You know, when it comes to the Bible, Dave, there's a lot of conflicts in there, a lot of battles. People had to result to personal defense. But the interesting thing about, I think maybe even in the book of Daniel, it said that there was a city that God had sent an angel, but he was interrupted. He had to battle an archangel to get defense to the city. What that basically is saying is that there are spirits that rule over cities. That's what it tells me. So would you think, and there's kind of a spiritual part, a little bit of our conversation, that there are there, for instance, where these riots are and the looting and chaos, and I would say chaos in particular, are those spirits or is just people just freaks or just bad?
We'll go with what my reverend said on this issue. He said, what is a gang? Okay, a gang is a group of devils. So you're going to, in my opinion, you're going to have evil spirits there. Okay, the horrible atrocities that happened in Uganda during Bill Clinton's administration,
mm-hmm.
The head UN guy that was there, I think if I remember right, he was British. He never got over the atrocities that were happening over there, the genocide. And he said, when I had to speak to the people in charge that were doing the genocide, he goes, they were not human. They were pure evil.
Wow. The Minutemen in early America, as I understand it, came from basically they were centered in local churches. And the premise was that they would sing hymns and have a service, but then they would call the men and it had to be outside, locked and loaded, ready to fight the British in a minute's time, hence the Minute Men.
Right.
Now today, as churches get more liberal, there's a big thing, and I guess the push would be they would say, for when it comes to self-defense, guns and ammo, weapons, maybe even training, people would say, well, God will protect you. So should somebody say, I have strong faith that God will protect me, I don't need self-defense? Or do you see any biblical terminology or teaching that says you should prepare to defend yourself?
So David's men were always prepared. And when David met Goliath, he didn't go, let's go get a Starbucks. That's how I feel about it. I don't think that me personally, spiritually, I'll be honest, I look at it this way. That's between you and God. So if you really feel strong that you shouldn't, that's your prerogative. But also, in my opinion, God gave you a brain and you should use it.
Mm.
You know, David didn't conquer all those people, fight all those battles by going, okay, I'm just going to sit back and let God do it. No, he did what he needed to do and felt was right. And then God blessed him for it.
Mm.
So if I'm in a church and someone is starting to shoot, then my goal is going to be to help them, because that's just the way we should do things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this. You know, if you look back in history, everyone, look at the Jews, for instance. They were disarmed. They had no firearms. Look what happened to them. Horrible, evil atrocities. I have trouble even listening to the interviews from the people in the concentration camps. We don't want that here. We don't want that here. Mm-hmm. So I think it's extremely important to be able to defend yourself. I really don't believe that you're doing something wrong when you're fighting evil.
Mm-hmm.
Evil is on you. You have a right to defend yourself from evil. It's all over the Bible.
Yeah, it does say evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And I was just thinking as you were talking, the movie Saving Private Ryan. Remember that one sharpshooter? He would say, Lord, direct my aim and make my aim sure and swift to defeat my enemy. Click, boom, and take him out.
Man, yes.
You know, I thought, wow, that's a good representation of how it should be. Pray and then shoot, you know.
I agree.
All right. Let's get some more questions coming in. Raul says, is the AK-47 available to buy, and is it the actual assault rifle?
Okay, two things. No. Is not an assault rifle unless you buy a fully automatic one.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll probably, I don't even know what they'd go for now, 30,000-50,000. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
If you found one that was pre, you know, 1986.
Mm-hmm.
So, on that, a fully automatic one would be super expensive, and it's not an assault rifle, it's a semi-automatic rifle.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I make my own rifle in 7.62x39, which is the cartridge that it shoots. It also shoots a 5.45x39 cartridge. They even make them now in 5.56 or 223. They even make one in 9mm. Then they make the 12 gauge version. They make all these versions, which we could go on forever, Daniel. But anyways, on that, the whole thing is, it's a semi-automatic rifle. Now, it is not the first assault rifle. That rifle would be more of the SGG-44 variation. It was designed by the Nazis that Hitler did not like. Wow. And they still made it behind his back, which I thought was funny.
Speaking of funny, hey, you remember there was a show on by a Marine sergeant? It was a gun show. Does anybody in the live chat know that? You know what I'm talking about? Sergeant Gunny, maybe? I can't remember.
Oh, the guy from Full Metal Jacket that passed away not too long ago?
Yeah, that guy.
Yep.
There was a funny scene in there.
Yes. I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
Well, it was when he blindfolded a couple guys and told them to disassemble it and put it back. Was that what you were thinking?
Yes, because they were competing. That show, that episode was about competing the AR-15 platform or M16 right. against the AK-47.
Right. And then what he did was he took a piece of the other one. Which one was it?
He took the AK part because he knew the guy was going to get the AK back together.
Right. Right. That was so funny. He took it so that the guy couldn't beat the other guy. He said, nobody's going to beat my beloved M16, whatever. And it was so funny.
Now, there's a key note on that, Daniel, that's really important.
What's that?
If you have your AR-15 platform, whatever it is, mm-hmm. your Daniel defense, and I have my AK, mm-hmm. and I start taking parts of your gun off, mm-hmm. it will not fire. My AK will still fire.
Wow. See, man, this is invaluable information we're getting here. Thank you so much. All right, here's a question. It says, Z Rider says, is dragon skin body armor the best?
I wouldn't know off the top of my head, but I was extremely upset after it seems like it's extremely well made. And the videos I've seen on it, it blew my mind. They laid a grenade down and laid it on top and it didn't do any damage to anything.
Wow. Kevin,
go ahead. I'm sorry, Daniel. I don't know without me researching more on it and actually testing it myself with explosives that I don't have access to. It's hard to say.
Kevin Nutterberger says, Dave, I love hunting with my German Mauser. Very accurate and dependable rifle. Are you a fan of old rifles?
I'm an extreme fan of old rifles. Not trying to be too critical on other rifles, but I will only have as bolt actions. My only bolt action rifles are Model 70s or Mauser style actions. Pre-64 Model 70 Winchesters, mm-hmm. because I don't believe in pushing a round into a chamber with a bolt gun. Mm-hmm. I believe it needs to be controlled by the claw extractor, like a Model 70 pre-64 or a Mauser action, the beginning one, because it has more control of the cartridge going into the chamber.
Wow. Unbelievable knowledge for the folks tonight, Dave, and I really appreciate that. Speaking of older guns and movies, which I've kind of worked in on all of our conversations, back to John Wick. John is given a handgun with 7 bullets. It's a Kimber 9, I think Kimber 1911. Do you know anything about that? Why was that gun chosen? Why was it in the show used, brought up?
You know, I think it was more of a less like, hey, this is all you get, was what mm-hmm. I got from when Lawrence Fishburne gave it to mm-hmm. him.
Yeah.
The actor. I think it was more or less, you only get 7 shots, and in John Wick, you know, he kills more people in 20 minutes than all the Rambo movies.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those situations where, hey, you got it. This is all I'm going to give you because you tried to kill me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know if like gun enthusiasts or experts would say, wow, Kimber 1911, man, that is the coolest gun. But it sounds to me like it just an old gun he had sitting, from what you're saying, with 7 rounds. But I pay attention to that, man. It seems to me he's killed 30 people with 7 rounds. I'm just saying. I don't know. He does reload quite a bit. But every once in a while,
it's funny you bring that up, though, because if you think about it this way, most of the time he's using a high capacity gun like a Glock, mm-hmm. a tricked out Glock.
Yeah.
And then he gives him a old school style 1911 with 7 rounds. Mm-hmm. So usually he's using, you know, if he gave him a Glock, he'd have at least, what, 15, 17 mm-hmm. rounds?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. When he has the shotgun and he's loading it with shells and it's clear that he's taking gun training to do that. He's putting them in there.
Absolutely.
Is that realistic? Is that possible?
Oh yeah, totally possible. Yes. You can easily do that.
Yeah. I mean, you could see the training on the screen. That wasn't CGI. He was doing that. And I thought, wow, that's great, man. If a person can't afford a gun, will a paint gun do with frozen paintballs? Can you get the perp to back off with frozen paintballs?
I think anything is a possibility, but nothing will neutralize someone as fast as a firearm in a bad situation unless you're extremely well versed with hand to hand and they don't have a weapon. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem. I'm a proponent. I'm a certified pepper spray instructor under Saber. I do like pepper spray. The Saber, why I bring up Saber, we of course carried at Highsmith, but the big reason is it really works. It will stop you in your tracks.
Speaking of
pepper spray,
Is there a difference between pepper spray and bear spray?
I don't know. It might have the ocapsiums, which is the molecules that involved in the process of making the peppers and condensing them into a spray concentration. So on that, I'm sure the pepper spray has more in it. On my laptop for my homeland training, and I would show sometimes the video of the crazy psycho guy coming in with a machete and wasp spray, and he tried to do that at an airport. Mm-hmm. And then a female TSA officer took care of him with her firearm.
Wow. Question from Mickey V. Dave, do you have a recommendation for replacement stock of a 410/45 Rossi Circuit Judge long rifle?
Is that the right or the, yeah, the rifle? So that's a rifle configuration is what he's saying?
Well, it must be. I don't have any more information on that question there. How could you address the viewer? Do you need more information?
I'm sorry. Repeat it again. So was it a judge or was it the rifle version?
Yeah. Again, it says replacement stock for 410/45 Rossi Circuit Judge long rifle replacement stock. Do you have a recommendation?
I would probably just Google that. I have no idea, to be honest with you. Okay. I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Okay. Somebody wants to know, can you make your own pepper spray?
You could, but I wouldn't, because like Saber, reason I bring up Saber is because I went through training with them, is there's a bladder in Saber. So even upside down, it'll still spray.
Okay. Can you tape a bullet to the end of a BB gun and shoot the bullet?
You could, but you probably will injure yourself or someone else.
That sounds extremely dangerous.
In my opinion, that's extremely stupid and dangerous. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, what is a firearm? A firearm is a device that controls an explosion. Mm-hmm. Not on the end of a BB gun. I would not do that whatsoever.
Okay. I have a sniper. It's not probably a sniper, probably somebody that's shooting big game with a rifle, but it looks like it's a bolt action. Are bolt actions any good against self-defense?
They are, but really only for long distance, because you have to manipulate the bolt. If that's the only thing you have, absolutely. And you want to train yourself to be in a position where it's on your shoulder and you work on manipulating that bolt without actually moving the gun down and trying to manipulate the bolt. You want to keep that bolt actually in a ready position to where you manipulate the bolt and you can engage the trigger. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that would be sufficient for self-defense.
Is it ever possible that a bullet would explode in the chamber?
Yes. In the chamber?
Yeah.
It could happen. On that, this is a very good note for your listeners, is, and we probably went over that with you, Daniel, or we might not have, because we went over a lot.
clearing jams, we went over that.
So if you reload your same ammunition, let's say you are on duty, you're working for a police officer, whatever you're doing, mm-hmm. if you come home and you or for self-defense, mm-hmm. personal carry, mm-hmm. legally, if you come home, unload your semi-automatic with the same round, you unload that one in the chamber, you take it out, then the next day you load it again in the chamber through your magazine by placing the magazine in and racking the slide in a safe direction where there's no people, have to put that in there. When you do that, if you do that every day, day in and out, you will wear that cartridge out, the case of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That happens.
We should go over that.
It can explode inside the chamber, mm-hmm. and it will not come out without some kind of device pushing it out. So the mm-hmm. gun is pretty much inoperable.
You thought we asked you a question, the craziest question ever with shooting a BB with a bullet at the end. How about this? Can you put a bullet in a slingshot, Dave?
You could put it. Yeah, I would put a bullet in a slingshot, but not a cartridge.
Okay.
Ha.
Okay. It can happen. I mean, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, just the projectile, not the cartridge.
Okay. Should we ever worry about silencers or not?
Worry about them?
Yeah.
As in, just in general?
Well, that's the question. But I mean, I guess the general question is: Are they useful?
I think they're very useful. I hope that gets passed someday, because I think it's just insane that since our gun doesn't make noise, it should be illegal, or I should have to get a federal permit to do it. I haven't committed a crime. Have you committed a crime? No, we're not felons. So why am I not legally able to just have a suppressor on a firearm? What's the big deal? Mm-hmm. The rumor I was told about that, or the lore, the legend behind that was, during the Depression, people were doing that and poaching people's cattle. Actually shooting their cattle to feed themselves during the Depression. Mm-hmm. And that's when they came out with that whole suppressor thing. That was a big deal, because at least they'll hear the firearm go off.
Federal laws passed says those on the registry have to turn their guns in. People aren't doing it. Local authorities are issued warrants to go seize guns. They come to your house, Dave. Are you going to give it to them? That's a tough question, I know.
I'm sorry?
That's a tough question.
Oh, no, it's fine. So on that, so we're not in the United States anymore, correct?
Well, it'd be the elimination of Second Amendment. Somebody's violating, never got rid of it.
It's not in the United States anymore, so that's going to change the way I do everything, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Does that kind of answer your question?
I mean,
I don't believe in it. I don't. I think I'm better off it coming out of my dead hand, because you're not free anymore. And when you're not free, what really are you?
A slave.
So, I mean, that's, you know, the gist of that. I think, Lord willing, that'll never come to that. Mm-hmm. You know, prayer, this country being a God-fearing country, that's the only thing, in my opinion, that saved this country. Mm-hmm. And then the God-fearing part is backed up by the Second Amendment.
So you would have a sort of a live free or die mentality?
I would have, I would consider that an act of war, Daniel.
Yeah, because the only thing keeping us from anarchy and communism and complete this meltdown of the country is the Second Amendment. It seems it's the only thing that's keeping this country heading in the right direction. Somebody once said that an armed population is a polite population. So I don't know if that's true, but I think, like you said earlier in the first hour, the more people armed, the safer you are.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at what's going on, in all these big areas, including Indianapolis, Indiana. I mean, it's a crime-ridden area. It's a total crime-ridden area because we don't do anything to criminals anymore. We slap them on the wrist. I've been in court several times for cases where I was the witness. It's a joke. I mean, I've been in court, Daniel, where the judge looks at the prosecutor and looks at the defense attorney and goes, why am I here? This plea agreement has no justice in it.
Mm. Well, Dave, we're at the end of the broadcast, and there's no way when it comes to guns, weapons, and various things, all the things can be covered, man. We've covered as much as we could, give kind of a sampling of that. Basically, I think it comes down to, as you suggest, people need training, need to understand their weapon, training. But any final thoughts about this whole topic for the viewers?
Okay, one, like you just said, be very proficient with your firearm. Research and do your own legal research on what you're able to do and not able to do. Mm-hmm. In your municipality, where you live or where you're going. If you have a defensive firearm in a 9mm, 45, 40, whatever caliber, buy a 22 version to practice with. It'll save you a ton of money and be proficient that way. If you're going to have a 22 long rifle handgun for self-defense, in my opinion, it should be a revolver. because 22s are notorious for one of them not going off. Wow. So whatever firearm you pick, AR-15 platform, shotgun, handgun, make sure you're proficient with it. And after that, train from a holster, if you're going to carry, from that holster with a training firearm with a certified instructor to make sure you don't do something that's going to injure you or someone else. So the whole aspect of when you touch that gun and when you're not touching that gun, you need training the whole time so nothing bad happens.
Wow.
And please, everyone, remember, self-defense ammo is for self-defense. Do not use target ammunition for self-defense.
And that is tips from a professional. David Robertson, I appreciate you coming on the program. This show will begin to replay in the main player after it gets uploaded to YouTube. Takes about an hour, and then editing, of course. Can we have you back on again sometime?
Absolutely, and I appreciate you, Daniel. Look forward to training with you again.
Absolutely. We've got to get that going on, and I thank you so much for coming on the show, Dave.
Have a blessed one.
Oh, you too. All right, bye-bye. All right.